Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the people who came out into your house this morning to sit at your table and eat the fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father, for your wisdom that you're giving the church in this day and this hour in the revelation. I also thank you, Father God, that you're doing wonderful things right now, that you're taking us higher than we've ever gone before. And we thank you for that. And Father God, keep giving us revelation knowledge. We're hungry, we're thirsty, we want the deep things of you, Father. Please don't let us go away from here thirsty ever again. And Father, we thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for your angels being in our midst. And we thank you for the healing miracles that need to take place. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was telling Brother Chris I had an experience last night. I have all kind of experiences. But years ago, I walked out on my back porch and the dew of heaven, Herman fell on me. And so last night, I put the dog out. And as I bent over to put him on his chain, water dropped on me. And so I said, oh, I didn't know it was raining. And I jumped back inside and Larry was sitting at the computer. He said, well, that's funny. There's no place on the computer at all saying we're going to have any rain tonight. And I said, well, I'm wet. I know something dropped on me. I went back outside. It wasn't raining. But the drops were on the porch. And I walked back in through the door and walked into the bedroom. And God started speaking to me and telling me something. Such a strong anointing had fallen on me. So that was God dropping his rain on me. I'm telling you guys, God is really on the move in a mighty powerful way. But we're really going to have to be open and honest with God and allow him to come into our lives and to change us. And what he shared with me, because I've been concerned about some people's salvation, he said, daughter, he said, there's nothing more you can do. I want you to listen to this. He says, some of them have even gone to hell and come back, but they still like hell so much they're working at going back there again. You have nothing to do with this. It's the hardening of their heart and their desires. So you have to leave it alone. And see, he gave me that. He visited me that way and then told me that. And that thing went deep into my spirit. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes, don't you, when you minister to people and you tell them the truth, because they say they want to hear the truth, then you tell them the truth and then they didn't really want to hear the truth. So then they get mad and then they run away, you know, and throw a fit. And I don't know about you, but that plagues me. I think, did I cause them to lose their salvation? You know, did I hurt them? Did I do something wrong? And even though you don't, you know, you just like Teresa was teaching this morning, you know, you keep questioning yourself. And that's been really bothering me. And so God visited me in a special way to let me know it was his voice. And then he spoke to me. And now I'm content with that. But I'm not content with the fact that somebody's losing their salvation. Yeah, you can be content with your walk with God and what God's doing with you, but don't be content with a lost soul, because God doesn't want anybody to perish. This morning I'm going to talk about developing God's purpose for your life. I want to say one other thing. Is there something special supposed to happen on November the 1st? Because God spoke to me last night and he said it's a new month, a new day, and a new dawning, and it's Jubilee. And he said, daughter, this is your Jubilee. Will you accept your Jubilee? So I'm asking each one, will you accept your Jubilee? And I got so happy I couldn't stand myself. I was sitting there at the computer, and I was so ecstatic. But, you know, God said, there's so much I want to give. He was talking to me, so much I want to give to you, daughter. Well, can you receive your Jubilee? So, you know, and I've got the Holy Spirit all over me. Can you receive your Jubilee today? And I just felt like November the 1st when he was talking to me, and this was, what, 12:30 last night. November 1st must be something special. There must be something special about today, and I don't know what it is yet. If I find out, I'll let you know. If I don't, well, then you just have to wonder what it is, all right? But I want you to get excited because God is doing different things right now. He's changing, he's rearranging, he's finally doing the things that he's been promised he's going to do. And not only in my life, but in everybody else's life, too. How many of you have been in a dark hollow just recently? It's a hole that you seem like you can't get out of. But all of a sudden, just boom, just like that overnight, you're out of the hole. It's bright and there's no more darkness. Well, God broke through for you. And now God's ready to bless you. All right, delays are sometimes God's plan. Have you ever had a God-inspired dream that didn't happen as quickly as you thought it should? Let's say 10 years back. You had worked at it, but it seemed that many obstacles came against you. Finally, you gave up in despair. The dream lay dormant. I've always found the following quip to be an encouraging thought. And the title of it was, Don't Give Up. Between failure and success, the point is fine. We sometimes do not know when they touch the line. Just when the pearl was waiting one more plunge, how many a struggler has thrown up the sponge? Then take this honey from the bitterest cup. There is no failure except in giving up. And how many of you told yourself that many, many times? And you really had to push yourself not to give up. God had inspired a dream of the promised land in the heart of the Israelite people. They dreamed of a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land of freedom, a land where they could be free from their whips of the evil taskmasters of Egypt. Now think, this applies this to yourself. What has God promised you, and what have you been dreaming of, and what have you been thinking of? Scholars say that the journey to the promised land was only a one-week journey. However, it took the children of Israel 40 years to get there. So he gave you a word 15 years ago and you still don't have it. I'm saying apply this to your own self this morning. Exodus 13:17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. We find in this scripture that God did not take the short route. How many of you, God has not taken you in the short route? When God wants to take you somewhere, he may take you on the long path instead of a shortcut. Someone might ask, why did God take the long way, which caused a delay in taking the children of Israel into the promised land? This delay was designed by God for a particular reason. Let's look at three ways God uses delays in our lives. God uses delays to prepare us. The Israelites were a slave people, and they weren't prepared for war. And God knew if they went to war, they wouldn't be able to handle it. Hear that? Every dream has its difficulties. God uses delays to get us ready for those difficult times that we are going to face during the course of our journey. Let's read that again. God uses delays to get us ready for those difficult times that we are going to face during the course of our journey. These delays are designed to strengthen our faith and make us stronger. We need to quit complaining about the delays. Number two, God uses delays to test us. Deuteronomy 8:2. God led you through the wilderness for 40 years. Testing you to find out how you would respond and if you would obey him. Oh, I think we've missed a few tests, haven't we? God uses delays to test how we will respond under pressure and to test our loyalty and obedience to him. Number three, God uses delays to train us because sometimes it takes longer to get Egypt out of us than it does to get us out of Egypt. The culture and habits of Egypt was ingrained in the hearts and minds of the Israelite people. God could bring them out of Egypt in one night, but it would take years to get Egypt out of them. Do you think that's what happened with the deliverances? You got saved in an instant, but then it took years, taken years to get the Egypt out of you. When you and I got saved, we had habits and thought patterns that were of this world. When we got saved, those thought patterns and habits came with us. God uses the delays to break those habits and thought patterns and train you in his way of thinking and doing things. The best thing to do when you are in God's waiting room is be patient. And I find out a lot of people are short on patience. And let God do his work in your life. I want you to notice that it was God that was leading them to where they were going. It was God leading them there. How many times you've said, God, why are you taking me down this road? Well, at least if you say that, you understand God's leading you there. All right? Sometimes God will lead you through the wilderness, but I believe that your response determines how long you stay in the wilderness. Remember, God told me you can go around this mountain as often as long as you want, and I'll be here when you're ready to get off of it. So, what did I just say? I believe that your response determines how long you stay in the wilderness. Your test of maturity is how well you handle the delays in your life. Your test of maturity is how well you handle the delays in your life. Sadly, the children of Israel flunked this test. They never made it through the delay. Only two Israelites who left Egypt actually got to go into the promised land. A whole generation had to die in the desert. The next generation got to go in. Only two of the first generation, which was Joshua and Caleb, got to go in. Why? Because they trusted God to take them. See, they didn't look at the negative. They always saw the positive, didn't they? They didn't see the giants. They saw the good in the land. When you're going through the delays in your life, there's four things that you don't want to do. If you do these four things, it will prolong the delay. Don't fear, don't fret, don't faint, and don't forget. Don't fear, don't fret, don't faint, and don't forget. Number one, don't fear. Exodus chapter 13 and Numbers chapters 13 through 14, this is the first mistake the Israelites made. There are a lot of reasons for the delays that happen in your life, but this one is your own fault. God says, don't be afraid. They were afraid to go forward at the Red Sea, and they were afraid to enter the promised land because of the walled cities and the giants. They said, we are afraid. The people there are stronger and taller than we are, and the cities are walled cities. If God sends you forth, you're not supposed to be afraid of anything you see or do. They had enough faith to move out of Egypt, but they didn't have enough faith to move into the promised land. They were afraid. The problem with fear is that it keeps you in the wilderness, in the desert and barren stages of life. It prolongs the delay. Fear and faith cannot live together in the same house. Many of your dreams have never been fulfilled, not because of God, but because of you. Because you wouldn't step out in faith. God says, don't fear. Fear causes the delays in your life and keeps you from moving ahead. The antidote to fear is to focus on God's presence. Exodus 13:18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Exodus 13:21-22 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God was constantly with these people, but they were still afraid. Realize that God is with you. When you're afraid to go after the dream God has given you, you need to focus on God's presence. He says, I will always be with you. There will never be a time in your life when God is not with you. When what was that guy bought that football stadium? Joel Osteen bought the football stadium. He just knew that he was supposed to do that. But everybody said, you're crazy. You don't understand what you're doing, but he kept his eyes focused on what he knew that God wanted him to do. And he bought it, and look what he has. And when he shared that last Sunday that his electric bill is $1 million a month. A month? I said, wow, you had to have faith to do that, didn't you? I mean, that's just an electric bill. Look at all the other bills you have. I cost $600. Realize that God is with you. When you're afraid to go after the dream God has given you, you need to focus on God's presence. He says, I will always be with you. There will never be a time in your life when God is not with you. He's with you now, he always has been, and he always will be. He is with you in your good days and your bad days. He is with you when you feel it, and he is with you when you don't feel it. And God says, I will always be with you. You know, I would stop there and went, I told my daughter yesterday morning at lunch, I mean breakfast, she took me out to breakfast, and I said, you know, Teddy, I said, I would really like to get a new car. I said, this car is just nitpicking me to pieces. And so she just grinned, you know. I said, I can afford $300 a month. I just got a bill paid off. I can afford $300 a month. A new car I'm talking about, all right? And she just grinned at me and didn't say nothing. So when we left there, she pulled into the Buick place, and I said, what are we doing in here? She just kept grinning, and so she got out, and she said, Mom, this one's $70,000. I said, what? She went to another, Mom, this is $50,000. I said, what? Mom, this one here is, I think, $65,000 or something. I said, for a car? And that's why she was grinning. She knew. I said, I could afford $300 a month for a new car, you know. And so the guy, when he waited on us, he told me, and he said, my daughter thought this was all funny, and she said, my mother wants a brand new car, and she has $300 a month she can pay for this brand new car. And he looked at me real funny. He said, I have some back there in the corner. I said, well, what's back there? She said, the used one. I said, no, I already have a used one. I bought a brand new one, but now it's used, and I don't want somebody else's problem. I want a brand new car. He said, ma'am, if you want to ride big, you're going to pay big. And he said, how you figure out how much you're going to make your car payment's going to be? I said, no. He said, $20 for every thousand. So a $50,000 car would be $1,000 a month plus your insurance. And I like nice things. I don't want a piece of junk, and I don't want a little cracker box either. So he said, well, then he said, come on over here. We were driving. I didn't even get out. But so we drove over there to where he walked to, and he said, now, see, here's a nice 2007 Cadillac. He said, it only has 36,000 miles on it. I mean, 36, I don't know, anyhow, low mileage. And he said, nice, you know, it did have a nice paint job, but it was chocolate brown, and he would get a chocolate brown car to begin with, not me. And then, I said, well, thank you very much. We've got to go. And we drove away, and Taylor said, did you notice the tires were dry rotting on the thing? Well, when you're ready to go ahead and buy your new car, come back, and I'll help you. So she took me to 2 other car lots, and guess what? That's the price of cars. You can buy a house for that. Doesn't have wheels on it. Well, if you buy a trailer. But you need to buy a house for that. But don't fear, Barbara. God told me, he told you that you could get a new car. So I'm just waiting. God's going to. Well, what I said, well, Jesus, you're just going to have to drop a car in my lap. And he said, what? I said, God's going to have to perform a miracle on me because I don't have that kind of money to buy a car. He just looked at me real funny, you know. And so I was going down the road, and I said to my daughter, I said, well, God's going to, he told me I could get a new car if I wanted it, and he knows what kind I want, so he's just going to have to go ahead and have his little angels bring me one, right? And I'm not afraid. I'm not going to fear. I know I'm going to get a new car. Well, we were talking about the sheiks overseas, wherever they're at, you know, and their oil wells and how much they actually have their cars are solid gold, you know. And I said, well, maybe I'll go marry a sheik. He could get me a car. He'd just give me a solid gold car, you know. It's unreal. But I'm not going to be afraid because you have to drive. You can't walk. Well, God could supernaturally transport me, right? But that didn't deter me any. I'm still going to get a new car. God's going to see to it. So, don't fear. If God told me I could have one, then I can have one, right? And he told the Israelite children, I'm going to take you out of bondage, and then you took them out of bondage. Someone says there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. If that is true, then that's one for every day of the year. Fear not, Barbara, the car is coming. You know? God is saying, no matter what you're facing, don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. Not because of positive thinking or motivational tapes or pulling yourself up by the psychological bootstraps. He's just with you. Period. You will never face any situation in life that God isn't facing it with you. We tend to forget that, and when we do, we start being afraid. Don't fear, but focus on God's presence. He's with you all the time. Something popped in my head. What's them big cars, those big fancy cars that are expensive? Mercedes? How can a pastor have 5 Mercedes sitting in his driveway? I mean, I know some pastors have 5 Mercedes sitting in their driveway. one prayer every day. How can they do that? This just dawned to me, you know. And Mercedes, it's more than 70,000, I can guarantee you. Well, I lost my place. I got all excited about that. Some of you are in the delay phase right now. Get this in your spirit. Some of you are in the delay phase right now. You've been praying about something and it hasn't happened yet. You start to think that God has forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. He knows what you're going through. It is a delay by design. God wants to build your character and he wants you to learn to trust in him. You can count on him for his help. Don't fear. Number two, don't fret. Psalm 37 verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wow. Do you all do that? Do we all do that? Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. God, forgive me for comparing the pastors who have five Mercedes, right? Psalms 37, 7, in another version says, wait and trust the Lord. Don't be upset when others get rich or when someone else's plans succeed. Don't get angry. Don't be upset. It only leads to trouble. Fret means worry. Don't get worried. Don't get uptight. We do that when we get into delays. We worry, get uptight, and get stressed out. Worry will give you something to do, but worry will only cause strength to drain from you. When you worry, you bind the hands that can help you. God responds to faith, not fear. Learn to trust God in the delays you face. After all, it is God that is leading you. God says, don't fret, don't worry, don't get uptight about it. When we really grumble is when we're waiting for God to act. We get in a hurry. And Proverbs 19:2 says, and he sins who hastens with his feet. God's not in a hurry about anything. I hate to tell you that, but he isn't. He's going to take his good old time because he knows when you can receive. He knows when I can receive a $70,000 car, right? Come on. He knows when you can receive a home. He knows. He watches what you're doing. Are you taking care of what you have now? If you're not taking care of that, why would he give you something new? You know, if he's given you a small ministry and you can't work out that small ministry and keep it in line, why is he going to give you a big ministry? You know, we need to think about these things. God's delays are to prepare you for what he really wants you to do. You know, whenever I first come on the scene and I was out on the field, you know, evangelizing, and then God brought me in off the field, I think after 10 years or 12 years, something like that. And I said, why are you doing this, Lord? He said, because you're not ready for the wolves yet. Because pastors had, when I was out on the field, you know, in different states, the pastors had started eating me. And it really was hurting me. I just didn't know that happened. And so God pulled me back in so that he could prepare me to go back out and face them. Are you understanding this? So come on, guys. Don't be concerned and don't get upset and fret and carry on if God is doing what you don't think he should be doing in your life. Because he knows what is good for you. And he knows when you're able to handle anything. When we try to take matters into our own hands, we get in trouble. We try to help God out. It's frustrating to be in a hurry and God isn't, isn't it? God is never in a hurry. The Bible says, with him a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. He's larger than time. I'm sorry, I forgot to put the scripture down for that. He's larger than time. One of the most useless things to try to do is to speed up God. When you get impatient, see, that's why I got in this building, got in trouble, because the people, not me, but the people wanted us to be out in the public instead of in my home. And so I did what they asked me to do, and it isn't what God wanted me to do. And we sped up God's hand. We went ahead of God and got in trouble here. Where am I at, Nancy? When you get impatient, you start trying to work it out yourself. You get a dream from God. Make the decision to go for it. And then when the delay comes and it's not fast enough for you, you start trying to figure out ways of doing God's dream on your own. You start trying to force the issue. Abraham did this. God said he was going to give him a son. At age 75, Abraham still didn't have one. Sarah was incapable of conceiving. He decided to have a child by Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden. Hagar gets pregnant and bears a son. They name him Ishmael. Abraham thought he had the miracle child in Ishmael. God said that Ishmael was not the miracle. That was just a normal conception. He wasn't the baby God said would be the miracle baby. God blessed Ishmael anyway, and he also became the father of a great nation. He's the father of all the Arabs, Ishmael is. Now, I want to tell you something. You know, saints of God, you know, like God told me that he's going to give me a new building, and it's going to be fully equipped, and the money's going to be there to run it and everything. And everybody, and I know he's going to do that, and he told me he's going to fill this place up first and then overnight move us out. Now, everybody comes along and said, God's really going to give you that building, so don't get disappointed. And I'm really not disappointed, and I know God's going to do it. I just wish he would do it. No, he's going to do it in his timing. All right? He's going to do it in his timing. And right now, I wished his timing was my timing, which would be the second. But I have to wait until God is ready to give me the building. And I think I'm doing everything I should do, getting everything in order the way I should be getting it in order, and stepping on your toes and bopping you on the head and trying to get you lined up so you can go into a big building, you know, and so you're ready to go ahead and minister to the multitudes. Just like, you know, God was doing all the miracles and everything else. I'm telling you something. Some of you are disappointed, and some of you are going to, and you're disgruntled, and you're going to get out of the will, totally out of the will of God, and you're going to be lost. So just listen here. You know, whenever y'all haven't walked in the anointing that I walked in for all those years, and then all of a sudden, bloop, God just stops it. Then I'm in a dry place for 15 now, 16 years, something like that. That's a bad place to be. And I'm thinking, God, here I am. Here I was, this great person, and you were using me for signs, wonders, and miracles, and, you know, people were being healed and raised from the dead and all this kind of stuff, and now I'm doing absolutely nothing. And then you have another prophet come and tell me, somebody was raised up under me, started her own church, Pastor Barbara, you're supposed to start teaching again. And I said, well, I am teaching, but then after a couple years of teaching, I dawned in this little thick head of mine, my head's a little thick most of the time, that God spoke to me one day. He said, daughter, the reason why I had to take you back to teaching was because the people were not ready for my glory. So now I have them going through a teaching phase until they're ready for my glory. They would not have known what to do with the glory if I'd let them have it before you did the teachings. You see that? So because you weren't ready for the glory, then I have to go back to teaching. And I don't like to come to teaching. I like to come in here and have God just drop, you know, and his presence and just all these wonderful things happen. But because you aren't ready for the glory, it would kill you. That's what he said a while back. We have to go through this dry place. Come on. But God said there would be another child, he told Abraham. Later, Abraham had Isaac through Sarah, who was way up in years. And although she had never been able to have a child, at her grandmother's age, she had a baby. Isaac became the father of the Jewish nation. You want to see Brother Larry get excited? Just let me say to him, I'm Sarah. I can really get him jump started by saying that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? He said, no. No more babies, he said. Just ask if you'd like to have a baby this age. And what she tells you. Don't fret, but trust God's timing. Psalm 37:7 said, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him to act. Don't fret and worry. It only leads to harm. Remember, God, how many years back has God been started telling us, enter into my rest. Enter into my rest. Enter into my rest. He didn't say wait patiently because he knew he didn't dare put two of those things together. But see, that's what he was trying to tell us to do. You're too anxious and you're trying to get ahead of me. You enter into my rest and allow me to put you where I want you when I want you. How do you think I feel when I'm up here prophesying, you know, prophesy the same thing over and over and over again, and you know, about your big ministry and this, that, and the other, and you're still sitting there staring at me every service? You know, I think, God, they'll think that I don't know what you're saying because it's him talking, not me. But I have to say what he's saying. And what he's doing is he keeps reminding you this is what he's going to do with you. And I can guarantee you, if some of you don't get on the ball, when it does happen, you're going to stand there and just go into a frozen state and not do nothing. Because you've already made up your mind, that's never really going to happen. You haven't spoken it, but in your mind somewhere there it is. And when it does happen, then you won't be able to work for God and you're going to miss out on him. So you better be telling yourself it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe every word that God said, it is going to happen. Resting in God is an act of faith to trust God's timing. It means you're waiting on God. One time Jesus and the disciples were in a boat and Jesus fell asleep. A big storm came up and the disciples freaked out. Jesus is in the corner of the boat sleeping. They wake Jesus up. Why are you sleeping? Do you think God is going to let the boat sink with me in it? Jesus, by his sleeping, was saying, I can trust God even in the middle of a storm. Come on. I don't have to worry about it. How many of us, when the storms, we hear about a storm, we sit up all night waiting to see how many leaks are going to be in the roof? You know what I'm saying? You're waiting to sit up all night long waiting to see, to make sure nothing happens. But if I lived here, I'd be doing that too. When we get into a storm, we lay awake all night and we fret about it. Now I'm talking about a storm in your life. The very fact that we're laying awake at night means we're not living by faith. You listen to this, people. We can't get any sleep because we don't really trust God to work it out. God says, don't fear, don't fret. Remember, I'm always with you and trust my timing. The verse says, wait patiently for him to act. When you wait impatiently, it doesn't make waiting any better, does it? And if you really stop and think about your life, all the worry in the world that you did didn't change a thing. Gave you gray hair, ulcers, or whatever. Made you get in stress and get fat, whatever. But it didn't change your situation, did it? All being impatient does is make you miserable. Don't fret and worry. It only leads to harm. Worry doesn't work. It just makes you miserable. So stop worrying and start trusting God's time. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has set the right time for everything. God has set the right time for everything. So God's timing is perfect. Do you know why we can't walk with God the way we should? We don't read our Bibles and we don't know what it has to say. If we do read it, we do it with our flesh and we don't understand it. If you're going to read your word, you have to read it with the Holy Spirit so he can reveal the truth of it. So the third thing is, don't faint. When you go through the delays in life, don't faint. Don't get discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. This is the third thing the Israelites did, and it kept them out of the promised land. Numbers 14:4. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses, if only we had died in Egypt. We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. How many times have God been telling us, don't look back, don't look back, don't look back. Don't want what you used to have. Go forward. What I have in front of you is so much better than what you're leaving behind you. But we're still looking back and we're still wanting what we used to have. They gave up on their dream. They caved in. They had been in slavery 400 years, but now because they are having a little bit of delay, they want to go back to Egypt. If only and go back are phrases that are telltale signs you're discouraged, that you're fainting and losing heart. If only and go back are phrases that are telltale signs you're discouraged, that you're fainting, losing heart. Numbers 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. I mean, God was blessing these people. He took them out of, when he took them out of Egypt, they had all the gold and everything else, didn't they? The people couldn't give them enough. They were just here, bless, 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 but just get out of here. But here they were, because they were going through this dark place, whatever they want to call it. God was feeding them every day. They didn't have to go out hunting. You know, and they had everything. Their clothes never wore out. They still wanted to go back to slavery. People who serve Satan and then get saved and come into the house because God doesn't instantly give them signs, wonders, and miracles, doesn't instantly clean them up. They said, what's the use of serving God? I had it better when I was over there with the devil. He let me do anything I wanted to, anytime I wanted to. Yeah, he did, because he's going to take you straight to hell. You aren't patient enough to wait before the Lord to have God clean you up so he can use you for his glory. If only means we start to second guess ourselves. You hear that? If only means we start to second guess ourselves. When we get a dream from God, make the decision to go for it. And if it doesn't come immediately, we start second guessing ourselves. Maybe I didn't really hear from God. How many times have I myself said that? And I believe everybody in this room has said at some point in your walk with God, maybe that wasn't God's voice that I heard. Maybe I just made this up. I hear people say, well, I had pizza for supper, you know. You know, maybe God is not listening and he doesn't care. If only I'd done something different. If only I'd done this or that. We second guess ourselves. We need to stop that. Like this thing I'm going through right now with somebody else that said, if only I hadn't sent the email. You know, don't do that, guys. Don't do what I do. Don't do the dumb mistakes I do. That's why I tell you the mistakes I make, so you don't go around and do them too. And then we say, let's go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to Egypt. When we go through delays in our lives, we tend to idolize the past. We talk about the good old days, which really weren't that good if you really look at them. The only thing good about them is they're over. The grass isn't greener on this or that side of the fence. It's greener where you water it. The good old days always look better in hindsight than they really were. We get into a project, start having a delay, and then want to give up. Let me ask you something. How many of you really thought you had the best life in the world, and then you really got down to really thinking about it, really digging into it? You said, oh, it wasn't as good as I thought it was. Then you think, wow, here I'm out there bragging what a wonderful life I had, and it wasn't all that wonderful. Could it be just maybe we thought it was so wonderful because we always looked at the bright side of things? The world doesn't do that anymore, you know. We just enjoyed life. And we took life as it came, right? Trusted God that he was with us, even though we didn't know he was even doing that. The Israelites had been in slavery in Egypt. Some people would rather live in slavery than face the fear of freedom. We know that to be a fact if you take psychology classes. They are not willing to push through and work on the problem until they get it right. You know, whenever I used to do a lot of counseling, I'd ask women, why'd you stay with a man who beat you up? Well, I don't know if there's anything better out there. They're afraid to go and find out if there's something better. I might just get somebody worse than I already have, so I'll just stay there. That's dumb, isn't it? They are not willing to push through and work on the problem until they get it right. They want to go back and give up. They settle for mediocrity in life. Don't settle for less than God's best for your life. Remember, I always told you, God always told me, daughter, you always settle for second best, and I want you to have the very best of everything in your life. So if any of you in here in this room tonight, you're settling for second best, that's not God's will for your life. He wants you to have the very best of everything. Everything. He's concerned about you. He told me, daughter, I know exactly what you want. I know what color you want. He said, I even know your druthers. You know. He said, I know everything about you. He says, so believe me, I'm well able to bless you. Are you listening? Well, the reason why he said it was, I said, well, God, I know what color I want, but I really don't, I'm not sure yet exactly what will you model, whatever you call it, I want. And he said, I know all about you. I know what to give you. So he knows you. Even if you can't make up your mind, he knows you. And he'll give you the very best. All right, I said, don't settle for less than God's best for your life. If that means going through a tunnel of conflict, take the tunnel. In the middle of the tunnel, it's dark and you want to run back to the light. But you've got to keep going and you'll come out in the light on the other side. Instead of fainting, be persistent and pray. Remember I told you I was going through a tunnel and God said, keep going, daughter. I'm walking with you. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And finally, after months and months, I said, where's the light? You know, I must evidently want to go back because I couldn't see the light ahead of me. And God said, it's there. Just keep going forward. See, if you just get God in your corner, he will push you. He will encourage you and he'll nudge you. Keep going. Keep going. There is a light. Their promise is there. Just keep going. See, these delays mean nothing to God. And they shouldn't mean nothing to you. Well, this is a little bump in the road. God's going to take me where he wants me. Are you sitting here tonight? Galatians 6:9. Let us never grow tired of doing what's right. For if we do not faint, we'll reap a harvest at the right time. This is the law of the harvest. In life, you will reap whatever you sow. What you plant, you will harvest. If you sow criticism, you will reap a lot of criticism in your life. If you sow love, you will reap love back in your life. If you sow generosity, you will reap back generosity. It's one of the laws of the universe. We'll always reap more than we sow. If I plant one kernel of corn, do I get one kernel back? No, I get a whole stalk with thousands on it. You always reap more than you sow. But in the law of the harvest, there is always a delay between sowing and reaping. There's always a season. You plant in one season and you reap in another. There is a delay in between. God wants to see if you're going to keep cultivating, planting, sowing. See if you really mean business. All right, God, so you took me out of the position you had me in and I'm sitting here doing nothing. I'm waiting on you, Father, to whatever you want me to go through, I'll go through. You just go ahead and do what you want to do with me. Then take me where you want to take me to. Amen. If God sees consistency in your life, then the harvest comes. You hear that? If God sees consistency in your life, then the harvest comes. It will not come immediately because it proves nothing if he does it immediately. You're listening. It will not come immediately because it proves nothing if he does it immediately. No delay, no character development, no stretching your faith. Jesus said that about 2,000 years earlier in Luke 18:1, you need to pray continually and not lose heart. You have two options in life, pray and not lose heart, or faint and lose heart. You will always be doing one or the other. If you pray continually, you will not lose heart. You won't be discouraged. If you don't pray continually, you will lose heart. You will faint. Because see, you'll keep your mind on this situation. You will get discouraged by the problems you're facing in your life, family, school, or wherever. You've got to keep on praying. What do I pray during the delay phases of life? Pray, help me, hold on, and not give up. What I pray is I say, God, I know you're with me. I just know you're there, even though I can't feel you, see you. I know you're there, and I'm going to keep on moving. He doesn't say, I'm here. He doesn't say that. He just lets me go right ahead and have faith and believe he's there, because he is. So pray, help me hold on and not give up. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They won't give up. They'll keep on keeping on. Number four, don't forget. Some of you in here, I hope you're grasping what God's teaching you here this morning. Don't forget Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, God's promised me I'm going to return your youth. So every now and then I get out of bed and my leg might be stiff. And I said, nope, I'm not receiving this because I'm still youthful. I'm not ever going to grow old. I am not ever going to grow old. I'm not. And the devil in hell is not going to tell me I'm old either. Every now and then Gabriel said, you're an old woman, aren't you, Mama? I said, no, I am not. I'm younger than you are. He has a few aches and pains, you know. I'm not going to receive that junk. I don't care what the calendar says. It's what I say. And it's my body. And God says that I won't grow old, so I'm not going to grow old. Come on. When I was 65, they took blood work and everything, and my DNA was that of a 30-year-old. I don't think they'd find that now, because then I got into stress and got into under the curse, and my body started doing its aging process. But I wouldn't even accept that. I said, no, you're going to stop right now, because I'm not going down that road. I went to the doctor to see about getting these couple of spots of cancer removed off my face. And they said, the lady said, young, beautiful girl said to me, nope, that we can't do that. I said, why not? She said, that's plastic surgery and you're too old for that. I got up and laughed. You know, I'm not too old to have something cut off my face, the dummy. I was thinking, wait till you get that age. See if you'd like somebody saying that to you. I mean, the world's crazy. I've lost my place, Nancy. Where am I at, Nancy? During the delay. During the delay, time causes us to forget many things. When there's a delay, we tend to forget our dream. We tend to forget what God had done in our life, what he had done. We tend to forget God's goodness to us in the past. We tend to forget that God is with us. We tend to forget God's power, and we tend to forget how important it is that we stay in God's strength, and we start focusing on all our problems than on what he has done for us. And the Bible tells us, don't forget. All right? What I said was I'm not going to read the whole thing, but during the delay, time caused us to forget many things. So please don't forget anything that God has promised you during the delay. He's still going to do it. I'm going to tell you, there's some character flaws inside of you that God has got to work with. And until he gets all those character flaws out, you are not going to go anywhere in God. And what I mean is, you're not going to have no ministry, because God will not allow you to go out there and put him to shame. And if he needs be, he'll pull you back. He'll pull the reins back and make you sit down. I've read quite a few ministers who had to come, even prophets, who God wouldn't let them prophesy or nothing, made them sit down. Until they got all their character flaws taken care of. Why would you want to go out there in the market with a bunch of character flaws and destroy people's lives? Come on here. Get the junk out of you. Let God renew you. And then let God use you. And see, as quick as you know, the sooner you let him, you admit to yourself, I have character flaws. The sooner God can get started, and the sooner you can get on with your ministry. So don't sit there and kick against the pricks and get upset with everybody else and God and yourself or whatever. Just get it over with. God, is there something wrong with me? Why am I acting the way I'm acting? With me being a prophet, I have found out. I just went through an episode last week that I thought I was nuts, to tell you the truth. And here I was feeling somebody, all of their emotions, and it's horrible what they were feeling. Horrible. But I thought it was me. And I thought I had lost my salvation and everything else. But, you know, when you go through times like that, even if it is you, don't give in. Don't give up. Hold on to God, because God is able to bring you through that thing. I said, God, if you don't do something here real quick now, I'm not going to make this thing. Because nobody can bring you through it except you. Well, it's God, but what I mean is, you have to release everything to God and let God work it out in you. Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. None of the enemies left. Then believed they his words. Then, after all that, then they finally believed him. Come on. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Hey, church, the church is the same as the Egypt. God told me they're the church of the Israelite children. We do the very same thing that they did in the wilderness. We moan and we groan and we complain and we can never see the good that God is doing, and we never stop to think, why is God doing this to me? Why is God making me, why did he give me this assignment? After all, I'm your prophet and I'm pure and I'm holy. Why would you do this? Oh, get out of here. He's going to show you how pure and holy you are not. He's going to show you the deep things down inside of you that are junk. And he's going to pull them up out of you, and he's going to cleanse you. If you're like me, I said, God, just take your big old hose and just wash everything out of me that's in there that's not of you. I want to be clean from the inside out, not just look clean on the outside. Amen. This was the fourth mistake that the Israelites made out in the wilderness. Psalm 106 tells us they forgot the many times God showed them his love and rebelled at the Red Sea, but he saved them as he promised, but they quickly forgot again. They wouldn't wait for God to act. Come on. I mean, you were rotten, no good, demon-possessed person, and God got a hold of you, and God cleaned you up, and now he's making you sit and get all the junk out of you, and you have the audacity to get upset. Well, I don't know what I went through all this for. Come on. Your father's trying to keep you so you won't go into hell. He's trying to get you totally and completely cleaned up so that he can take you into heavenly places right now. This says many times in the script. They did it many times. It's unbelievable how short their memory was. Well, it's unbelievable how short our memory is. Come on. We say, oh, weren't them people stupid? No, you just look at your own life and see how stupid you were and see how short your memory is. If you aren't being blessed 24/7, then you're upset with God or the people around you. You need to stop that mess. You're not going to get blessed every day of the week. You're going to have to go on with life. Bad things are going to happen to good people. It tells us that. The Bible says you will suffer if you follow Christ. Then what are you upset about? I was thinking last night, I was laying in bed, and I was like, you know what, God, all these emotions that I've been going through, I said, I don't even know what my emotions are anymore. I said, it's all about what the people are feeling in the churches. Up and down and around and in and out, and I'm thinking it's me. I've got to quit thinking it's me. And, you know, if you're a prophet and you're around people, you got to quit thinking it's you. You have to understand you're picking up the people around you. And if you're ministering to a certain person, you'll pick up all their feelings. You really will. One time I was ministering years and years ago to a couple who was having marital problems. And I didn't know if that was me having marital problems or them having marital problems. That's how real it was. I mean, I knew it wasn't, but yet I'm thinking, am I really having that amount of those problems? I wasn't. But this is how it goes, guys. You want to be used as a vessel of God, then you're going to understand you're going to feel everything that God feels. And when you're ministering to people, you're going to pick up everything they're thinking and saying and doing. And you're going to wonder, if I said, God, please, I need to know who I am right now. You know, there's so many things going through me. I need to know who this is sitting here right now. Amen. Or just tell me who it is so I can just get rid of it. You know, say, here they are, God, and put them in their hands so I have a few minutes peace. That's just the way it goes. See, God says to many people, here I am, use me, and it never counted the cost. It never counted the cost that even your thoughts are not going to be your own at times. Your feelings aren't going to be your own. You know, because you're picking up other people. All right, it's unbelievable how short their memory was. In Egypt, God does 10 plagues, and the children of Israel forget it because a couple days later, they're at the Red Sea saying, we're all going to die. If he wanted them dead, he'd have killed them back in their little tents. He wouldn't have had the blood put on the doorposts. And, you know, it's right. Why would he take them out there to kill them? What kind of God is that? What kind of God would tell you to get together at church and then let it drop? That's not the kind of God that we serve. They've forgotten just what God's done. God does a miracle and opens the Red Sea. They walk through to the other side and immediately forget that miracle. We're going to die of thirst. God provides water miraculously. They forget that and complain. We're going to die. No food. They were always forgetting. But we should not be too quick to judge them because we do the exact same thing. When a delay occurs in our lives, we start acting like God's never done anything for us. Has God done things for you in the past? Sure he has. You can count on him to do it tomorrow or the next day. When you act like God's not going to bail me out of this one, you're forgetting all the other times he's bailed you out. Come on. Some of the times you didn't even know about it, but he did. What have you been forgetting about God? How he's helped you so many times? I really want you to start stopping and thinking back of what God has done for you. And you know, we go along with life, you know, trusting and loving God, and we just take everything for granted. And then one day we wake up and smell the coffee or roses where you want to smell and realize, hey, God's been keeping me all these years. And it wouldn't be for him, I'd be dead or something a long time ago. You know, because you get dumb. And you just walk along because you're God, you know, and you're invincible, you know, and you can do anything because you have God by your side, and you just go on and on and on. When the devil comes to visit you, he says, I'm going to kill you. He says, no, you're not. Laugh in his face. I'm God's child. You can't touch me. Well, I found out that was different. All right. He just couldn't kill me. But, you know, we do. We just get so excited. Well, I get so excited with God. I just know that I'm God's child and I'm in his arms and he's taking care of me. And then when somebody smacks me in the face, I say, whoa, we're, you know, it's a wake up call. You have to sort of stop and, you know, and take account of what's going on around about you. But God doesn't even want me to do that really and truly because he said, rest. Rest in him. So somebody smacks you in the face and say, hey, God, they just smacked you. You better take care of them. Isn't that right? Because it says that God, they're not after you. They're after God in you. Come on. The consequences of forgetting, the Bible says, is they would not wait. Instead of forgetting, you need to remember God's promises. There are over 7,000 of them in the Bible. God's promises are always greater than the problems you're facing. Psalm 103, I will bless the Lord and not forget the great things he does for me. You see that? I put does, I just put that in because I want you to know he does great things for you every second of every day. Amen. I will bless the Lord and not forget the great things he does for me. You ask, why isn't God fulfilling the promise in my life? He's waiting on you. He's waiting for you to get that stupid look off your face, and he's waiting for you to rejoice when you don't feel like rejoicing, and he's waiting for you to find somebody you can blow steam off at and just really have a good rawr, and get it out of your system, and then go on. I was upset with somebody, and then, you know, next day I was fine. You know, I don't hold, you know, I just tell you what I feel, and I'm done. I forget about it. And somebody said, can you imagine she did all that, and look how she's acting today. Hey, you know, I had a problem with you. I talked to you about it, and so I didn't talk to you nice about it, and you weren't happy about it, but still and all, it's done. Why sit and nitpick it? It's done. If you don't want me to talk to you, just leave. Come on. Then you won't have to listen to me when you do wrong. You know, say, God, give me somebody that's not quite as hard as she is. Come on. Okay, you ask, why isn't God fulfilling the promise of my life? He's waiting on you. You think you're waiting on God. He's waiting on you to learn to not fear, not fret, not faint, and not forget. He wants you to learn that before he brings a solution, he has some things he wants you to develop first. Some growth patterns he wants you to put into your life. God's never in a hurry. He can do things immediately, but he's working on a larger agenda. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, God says he can't be waiting around much longer because there's a work that has to be done now. And he's ready for you to be done now so you can do the works that he needs done now. So if you sit around and drag your feet too much longer, he's going to go over you. He can do things immediately, but he's working on a larger agenda. The delays that come in your life do not destroy God's purpose. They fulfill God's purpose in your life. They make you a better person. You know, the problem is And I'm an excitable person. When God tells me to do something, you know, my people get so upset with me. I just say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, and I bypass the media and I bypass the people that work on the website and stuff. And they said, you got to stop and back up. Because I get so excited when God tells me to do something. I want it done now. You know, I just jump to it. And that's wrong. I mean, I shouldn't do that. And, you know, but whenever God tells you people, this is your ministry, this is what I'm going to have you do, and if he doesn't start doing it right away, then you get all upset. Well, you told me you was going to do, this is what I was going to do, Lord. Now what's your problem? He doesn't have a problem. You do. And you know, I have noticed this in all the years that I've been working with people, because I've noticed it in, ever since I've opened the doors, my job has always been to teach people to get them ready to do their ministry. But I've noticed God will bring somebody in, dumb as a fence. What I mean by that is they don't know anything about anything, you know. And I'll put them immediately in a position. And I tell them what I expect of them. And then I leave them alone, because that's you know what I want. And then, lo and behold, God will say, okay, now I'm going to pull them out. Why are you going to do that, Lord? Because they're not ready for this. I gave them a trial run. And they flunked their tests. So then he'll pull you out. He's not leaving you. Now he's going to start building your character. Now he's going to start doing the great and wonderful things that in you that he needs done so that he can use you. Why don't you want God to do the good works inside of you? I set my own self down for a while, didn't I, Brother Chris? I wouldn't teach her nothing. I wouldn't prophesy nothing, because I knew I wasn't right. And God told me, don't you sit down. Well, I was going to close the doors, but he said, don't you dare. So I just sat down. And I was still here, and I still did a few things, but I let everybody else do the majority of their preaching, because I knew there was something in me that wasn't right. And I wasn't going to do it. I don't do anything for God if I'm not right. I just don't do that. I used to be able to sing really well, and I used to help with a praise and worship team in another church. But I got up there one day, and I was singing a solo, and I got angry in my voice. And I just stopped singing. And the pastor said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting down. Why are you sitting down? I said, because I will not bring disgrace to God. And I said, I'm angry. And it's coming out in my singing. And I haven't sung since. Because I said, God, don't ever use me to sing again if I'm not right. I mean, God wants me to sing, because he promised me. He said, I want you to sing, but I just haven't done it yet. But you see, saints, can you sit your own self down? Can you say, I'm having a problem in my life, and I just need to sit and let God take care of that problem? Or are you the type of person, you have to, no matter what's going on in your life, you have to stand up there and be seen. Or wherever, be seen. You need to really think about these things. You know, that's pride and that's ego. And the devil's going to destroy you with that. Let, you know, if God doesn't set you down, or if God doesn't pull you aside, then maybe you need to do your own self. And tell him, say, build my character. I think it was over a year I didn't preach. But God was still in control. Amen. He knew if I closed the door, I'd never open another door, and I wouldn't have. Because I don't. My own father said, whatever you do, give it your very best, or don't even start it. He said, if you start something, finish it. He was very good. He was a good man. And that stayed with me all my life. If I promise somebody I'm going to do something, I do it. Person of my word. If I forget it, they all remind me, so then I do it. All right. But are you like that? When you make a promise to God, can he trust you that you're going to fall through with your covenant with him? Some of you might say no. He can't. He can't trust you. Habakkuk 2:3 says, these things won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. Let's read that again. These things won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Habakkuk 2:3 says that. Now, if you have to have that glued to your forehead, so be it. But remember that. When I find things like this that I really need, I type them up and put them on. I have them all lying around my computer. Because that's something I need to have before my eyes continually until I'm through that stage. All right? You should always have the scriptures. But if you're going through a problem, get a scripture that takes care of that problem. Write it, type it, do whatever, and have it where you can see it every day. And if it gets in your spirit, next thing you know, you're over that thing. The things you waited for in your life, God will bring to fulfillment if you do not faint, do not fret, do not fear, do not forget. I'm here to tell you this morning, if God has spoken something over your life, He is going to bring it to pass. You know, when I was first started, and I was going to another church, and the pastor told us that we're all going to meet here. No, Saturday we're going to go to that place out. Where's that, Chris? There was a church out here. Well, there wasn't a church. It was a tennis court at that time. We're going to meet. My husband and I are going to go out there, and we're going to march around that building and claim it for our church. They were in their home. And so God said to me, He said, I want you to go there too. So I said to the pastor, at the end of the service, I said, God told me that I should go there with you too. Fine, she said. In fact, she said, if anybody here wants to go, and it ended up the whole church went. So we was marching around this building, and I was just praying for them to get this building, you know, that God would find, they'd find favor in God's eyes. And all of a sudden, God said to me, this is your building, not theirs. I said, oh. And so anyhow, we went back there, and then they said, anybody hear anything? And then I said, yeah, I did. And they said, you heard that this is your building and not ours. I said, yes, I did. But whenever he told me that, I was standing there. It was just that tennis court there. It's that little project. It's over there, that little business area. And God said, look to your left. So I looked to my left. And you know how it's built up right now, you know, with the houses and everything down there. You know, just where the wall was at. All that was there. And then there was the freeway, whatever you call it, was there. But that day, there was nothing in that hole but a hole and trees and rocks. There was no freeway there. But see, God said, He had me look all around. The way it looked then is the way it is right now. And then, you know, all them buildings in there. I said, well, God, this isn't a very big place. He said, look around to your right. I'm going to give you all this land. So there's the other building over there. They have their own buildings and everything else. And at that point, there was nothing there hardly. But now all that stuff is built up. So I'm still saying as I go by there, God, is that still my building? Is that still my property? He doesn't answer me. I don't know. If I tried to buy it at that point. And God told me what price to give them. And the landlord, Barbara, will see, this is funny too. She laughed me to derision. I said, well, just let me talk to him. No, I'm not about to let you. That is ridiculous, offering him that price. I don't know what it was anymore. And I said, well, I'm not even going to give him that offer, she said. So I didn't get the building. They sold it to that church. And so the church has it. So what I'm saying is God showed me that years and years and years ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And that building sitting there, and everything is like God showed me that it was going to be, but He hasn't told me that's my property. That church, and I'm about to sell that property right now. We tried to rent the building. The rent on it was ridiculous. So I'm saying I'm still waiting for the building that God has promised me, wherever it's at. I don't know if it's that building. I don't know what it is, but you know what? I'm still plugging on, still trusting God, still believing Him. When I drive around Dover or anywhere, Smyrna or anywhere, I ask God, do you want me to have this building? You know, I ask Him and He doesn't say a word. So that means no. If anybody tells me there's a building empty, I go look at it and I pray. No, God doesn't say anything. So that's no to me. See, whenever God wants me to have something, He tells me. Now, I'm going to tell you this one thing and then I'm going to close. Years and years ago, you know, I live out in Marydale and you come down Route 8. Right now, there's a Shortstop. Is it Shortstop? They sell chicken, but Rural Farms. But I went by there one day. There wasn't anything there. And God said, that's your property. I thought, what am I going to do with that dumb property? And then I heard Wawa. Well, I didn't pay no attention. I went back there and by there another day. I go by there all the time. And God said, that's your property. Well, I thought, now how am I ever going to, see, how am I ever going to buy that property? And then I heard Wawa again. What God wanted me to do was buy that property and put a Wawa in there. See what I'm saying? But that was too big. That was too big for my little pea brain. I couldn't see behind. Couldn't look out the side of the walls. I was still in the box. And if I would listen to God, look at what I had now. So you have to listen to what God is saying to you. And then, see, I didn't know then the question. Well, what exactly are you trying to... I didn't know that then. What exactly are you trying to tell me? This is your property in Wawa. And I didn't put two and two together. See, a bright person would have done that. So now Royal Farms is in there. And they're going to make a lot of money in there. So listen to what God is saying to you, but don't do like me and just like, sit down and talk to him about it. All right, God, so you want me to have that property? How am I going to get the money to get that property? I could have really bought that property. Somebody was going to buy it for me after they found out I was supposed to have it. And when we went to buy it, Royal Farms already bought it. See, God had already made a way, but I just couldn't see outside the box. And so I missed out on God. What is God trying to show you and you can't see outside of your box? And you're missing out on God. God's want me to tell, God says to tell you, this is very relevant what you're hearing here today. Because this is going to either make you or break you. I was really going to speak on the Holy Spirit, but God had me do this. So, this is for your benefit, not for mine. I already got my benefit when I read it. All right. But this is for your benefit. This is to show you that God is not mocked, he's saying, and God will do for you whatever he said he's going to do, but you're going to have faith, and you're going to have faith to wait for his timing. And you're going to have to learn not to curse God and not to curse the people around about you while you're waiting. All right, so you got excited and you went out and bragged about your God and how he's going to do this, that, and the other, and then it didn't happen. Now you have egg on your face. You think you really don't have egg on your face. He's still going to do what he said he's going to do. You thought he was going to do it right then, and he didn't. Isn't that what happened to Bill Hammond? You know, God told him something, and he was just all excited. But what it ended up was he had to go to work, you know, till God did what he was going to do because he got ahead of God. So don't get ahead of God. Stay with God and allow God to do what he wants to do in his timing. Don't worry about what the guy did. See, and I did that one day. I said, well, you know, God, they do this, 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 and this. And look what they have. And I do this, 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 and look what I don't have. He said, don't you start that. In other words, don't start comparing what other people have and what you don't have. I said, I'm sorry. So don't do that. If God has called you, he's equipped you, he's taking you down the road he wants you to go, and maybe you can't see, and I'm hearing him say he will fulfill all his promises he's given you, and maybe you can't see right now what God is doing, but he is doing a perfect work. And like he always tells me, daughter, I'm working behind the scene, and pretty soon you're going to see the complete works that I'm doing. So even though you don't see anything in front of your eyes, he is working behind the scene. He's getting everything ready to give you the promises that he's promised he's going to give you. All right, so if you have loved ones, I've got loved ones that went back to drugs, and God has promised me they're going to preach the gospel, and now they're back on drugs again. So what do I do? That ain't going to work. No, it's still going to work. This is a little dip in the road. Is God's going to take care of that dip in the road as long as I keep it up in prayer, as long as I don't fret and worry and get all concerned and do all kind of dumb things. You know, somebody was running the people do drugs down. I said, you know, I don't do that because I thank God that I'm not there. And I hear of so many horror stories where people just get so hooked. They no matter how much they want to quit, they can't. And so, you know, don't give up on people that God has placed in your life that that they're going to preach or whatever. They will do that. It's just not the timing. But then while we're waiting for the time, we don't give up on anything. We keep praying and keep thanking God and keep walking in his presence. And Father God, we thank you this morning for this teaching that I think is invaluable. I thank you, Father God, that the people that you sent here this morning to hear this are the ones that you're going to use mightily in these end days. I'm asking right now, Father God, as I plead the blood of Jesus over this seed that was planted into their spirit, that the enemy, it'll take root and the enemy will not be able to pluck it out. And now, Father God, we need you to move on our behalf. We need you to seal this word. And I thank you that you're doing that very thing right now as your angelic host.